Hi everyone, we have our first ever mailbag episode coming up soon and we would love to hear from you. Send us your burning questions, thoughts on your fave icons we've covered, or maybe there's something we majorly missed out or got wrong. Email us at rightbackpod@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at rightbackpod. Can't wait to hear from you.
10, 9, 8, 7,
you are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop seriously with me, future Logie honoree Joel Babington, and do you like what you see is what he says to his close friends on Instagram, wink, wink, David Lim.
Mum, there is no such thing as a close friends on Instagram before you ask.
Yeah, that's what I'll be getting. Jolie, what's a close friends on Instagram and how do I get on it? No, no, no. Well, hello, David. How have you been? It's been a minute, hasn't it?
It has been a minute. You know, earlier today, my flatmate Chris was like, gosh, you haven't recorded an episode in a while, right? I'm just like, yes, but, you know, Joel and I, we message like every other day. So this feels more like, oh, we're kind of back into the swing of things and into work mode, so to speak. But yeah, it's fantastic to be able to do this again.
I am just so happy and so excited to be back in our pure pop Right Back At Your world. And also, if anyone's missed us, or you know, if anyone
it's okay if you haven't missed us. That's
it's okay
too.
If you haven't missed us. But you know, we have popped up on a few other podcasts, David, haven't we? So I just want to give
We've
a shout
a
out features.
Yeah, you know how like an artist in between album campaigns would like do a remix or like feature on another artist record? That's kind of what we've done. We've done a Dua Lipa. We've done a Rihanna. That's what's happened.
We've done a Nicole Scherzinger when she was still part of the Pussycat Dolls. So we've popped up on Lights, Camera, Melodrama, which is a fantastic podcast focusing on the X Factor at the moment, and they're going to do more reality TV shows in the future.
Thank you, Rory, for having us.
Thank you, Rory. That was so much fun. We discussed our favourite X Factor special guest star live performances, and then we just did a Dark Child special on the You're Welcome America podcast.
Yes, that was so much fun as well, featuring actual Dark Child in our comments on Instagram. That's crazy.
Hello, Rodney, come on anytime.
The Dark Child 2000, Right Back At Ya.
License our cover of Right Back At Ya, please, Rodney. But do check out both those fabulous podcasts. So David, everyone's seen the title. They know what they're here for, but who are we covering today?
Look, this is an artist that is an all-time fave of mine, Jolie. I mean, we're talking about a true world-class pop legend who continues to transcend and evolve with the time. This queen needs no introduction. She has sold over 70 million records worldwide since she debuted in 1987. And of course, we are talking about Kylie Ann Minogue, OBE.
OBE, OA.
What's OA?
OA, David, that is, AO. Is Order of Australia.
Oh, okay. Not everybody has that.
Not That's everybody cool. has that. So yes, we are. We are covering Kylie Ann Minogue today. 21 years of the Light Years album. But before we get into it, David, shall we read a 5-star review?
Thanks so much, as always, for the love and support and for giving us nice 5-star reviews on Apple and whatever platform it is, because that helps with the podcast and helps us with our visibility. Now, Joel, this one, I think you're going to love this review. This is from Dan Alcoholic. Ooh, can relate.
I think we can all relate. Lockdown 3, Lockdown 1, 2 and 3, the trilogy.
Oh, Lord. Hashtag Kylie Wines.
Yeah.
The title of this review is You Poor Cow.
Oh, sounds familiar.
Okay, discovering this podcast was like the first time I heard the Atomic Kitten, The Tide Is High. I look forward to each new episode. The nostalgia takes me right back, and I love the added info from their own lives when the music was released, and also love the impressions, especially the VB and you, you poor cow.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Dan. And everyone listening, if you like what you see, or more likely what you hear, please do leave us a 5-star review, and don't forget to follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms, even TikTok. So, David, let's get back into it. Before we get to the Kylie Light Years album, can you give us some context of where in the world that moment is?
I mean, this is a real special moment for us to go back in time. As you say, it's 21 years this year since the beginning of Kylie's Light Years era. This was a time where she was making her big pop comeback, you know? So the mid-90s was an interesting time for Kylie. She was transitioning out of the powerhouse Stock Aitken and Waterman sound that put her on the map. She didn't want to be, I guess, lost with all the other 80s pop acts that she came up with. So it was a conscious decision. After releasing 4 hit albums, she put out her greatest hits, her first greatest hits, when she was just 24 years old, and closed the chapter on PWL in 1992. 1994, she signed a brand new record deal with Deconstruction. This is a label that specializes in credible dance and pop music. 1994, the Kylie Minogue album comes out. Confide in Me and Put Yourself in My Place, those were the hits from the album. The following year, we see her come out with this haunting duet with Nick Cave, Where the Wild Roses Grow. Very dead edgy.
Edgy. Inze and edgy.
And then 1997, speak of dead edgy, the Impossible Princess album with the single Some Kind of Bliss, and did it again. Absolutely. I have to say, while we're talking about indie Kylie, just quickly, big shout out to one of my favorite songs from these sessions, Take Me With You, which is a 9-minute long experimental track that was on her Hits Plus compilation album. Very essential Kylie deep cut, guys.
Wow, indie, edgy and rocky. The Hits Plus album, David, I have a vivid memory of always seeing that in the library and just staring at it so confused. This woman that is now huge with Spinning Around, she's here with, like, I feel she's got like a sharp orange bob on the Hits Plus cover.
Yeah, it was very edgy.
Edgy. And my 10-year-old mind couldn't get his 10-year-old head around it.
Is this the same person? Who is this?
And I was like, I don't think I should be so lucky as on this.
Joel, you know, before we even get into all this, I have to ask, when was the first time you became aware of Kylie?
David, this era, it was the comeback of Kylie, but it was also the introduction of Kylie for our generation. For me especially, this was probably the first time I knew who Kylie Minogue was. I'm sure, obviously, she's so huge in the world, I would have over the years, but this was the first time it was really thrust upon me. And then I picked up the context along the way. You know, this was also prominent that they were celebrating kind of the greatest hits during this time as well. So this was probably my first time taking on I Should Be So Lucky, Better the Devil You Know,
yeah,
all of
the
that.
The immersion into the back catalogue. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think Kylie is one of those artists that has sort of always been in the background of my childhood. Especially For You was huge on Malaysian radio. Like, I think any given night in the 90s, you'd be able to hear that song on late night radio. But I didn't realize that was Kylie and Jason. The very first Kylie music video I saw that I can remember was probably Did It Again, you know, back in indie era Kylie. And I remember, like, looking at the, you know, how at the bottom of these music video channels, they have the name of the artist and everything. I'm like, how do you pronounce Minogue? Minogue?
Oh, gosh. I'll be honest, I still spell it wrong sometimes today. I have to Google. Anytime we do a social post about one of the iconic Minogues, I Google, double, triple check that I'm spelling it correct. Believe it or not, David, especially for you, my original knowledge of that was Denise Van Outen and Johnny Vaughan did a charity cover of it in 1998.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And I just was like, this was a great song. And then off the back of that, got all the context. So, you know, between 98 and 2000, for a child, it's all quite of a whirlwind time. And it was all thrust upon you in one, what feels like. But yeah, can you believe it? And DVO, British theatre and TV legend Denise Menouton and Johnny Vaughan was my way into Kylie and Jason in one way.
Now, we are going to get into this very exciting episode celebrating Kylie's big pop return. 99-2000, she signs a deal with Parlophone, going back to what she does best, which is making great pop music. The first single from this album, Spinning Around, hits in June 2000.
David, this was absolutely huge. This song really is the comeback of all comebacks, and it's something in my life that I will always consider new. Similar to how the Victoria Beckham second haircut in the Spice Girls will always feel new. You know, when she had shorter hair than the signature bob, around the second album, they were doing Stop, and it just felt like Victoria Beckham's new haircut.
You mean like my current haircut?
Like your current haircut.
I'm doing VB Stop, but in a kind of gingery, biscuity colour at the moment.
Yeah, dead versatile. and it kind of feels like it could have come out last week or it could have come out 20 years ago. It did come out 20 years ago, but we're trying to kid ourselves that it came out last week. So, David, let's press play on the term that you coined to me via WhatsApp, Y2Kylie. Now that is an amazing phrase, so I'm happy for you to use it and cut that out if you would prefer.
I actually, you know, I have a 2000s Kylie playlist, which is everything from this century onwards, and in the early days the playlist was called Y2K in brackets K Kylie, but you know, it was too hard for people to find it, so I changed it.
You got to put, you know what?
It's all about the SEO,
babe. SEO is more important than anything else in this world, in these
current times.
You
try to be clever and nah. It's all about SEO.
So, David, where do you want to jump into with Spinning Around?
Do you know, Joel, this was meant to be Paula Abdul's comeback single.
Co-written by Paula Abdul herself. The lyrics are actually very personal to our Paula, but actually transferred very well to where Kylie, Ms. Minogue, was at her life and her career.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing I really love about this song. You know, it was the perfect comeback single in so many ways. The lyrics hint at reinvention, getting your groove back. It is just pure joy. It's life-affirming. You look at the lyrics. Threw away my old clothes, got myself a better wardrobe. I got something to say. And did I forget to mention that I found a new direction and it leads back to me? Like, oh.
Love it. Need that on a pillow. Do you like what you see? Yes, we did.
Also, this was co-written by Paula, as she said, with Cara Diaguardi. Now, I believe this was one of Cara's first breakthrough songs, and I remember reading that she was quite gutted when Paula wasn't going to release it, and she had never heard of Kylie before. And then once she saw the video, she was like, oh, this is a big deal.
She saw those hot pants, and she was like, I am gonna be rich.
Spinning around to the bank.
Bank of America is like, what is a Kylie Minogue and why are you getting so much money for it?
Also, just to say, before we leave Paula Abdul completely, years later, Paula actually released a song that was recorded by Kylie for her Body Language era. And that track was called I'm Just Here for the Music. I don't know if you know that one, Joel.
I will know it by the time we get to that album.
I'm just here for the music. I really didn't mean to turn you on. Boy, you know I like the way you move it. So if you wanna wait for me, I'm gonna need someone to take me home. Can you feel it?
Our Kylie was back and ready to reclaim her throne as the Princess of Pop. Imagine where we have in this time, David. You know, Kylie was wrapping up with PWL at the beginning of the 90s. She was having her indie rocky moments during the 90s. The pop game changed entirely during that. We're seeing Steps, we're seeing Billie, we're seeing Louise, the Spice Girls, obviously. Britney has come now. You know, Britney's like 2 good years strong. And the pop game changed entirely, much like how when our faves come back now and say the game has changed entirely from, you know, with streaming and everything.
And yet somehow Kylie found a way to come back in without looking too desperate or like she's trying to keep up with the kids. This was a perfect balance of what feels true to her and also very commercially viable.
Exactly that. It just felt so smooth, so elegant, just like, you know, stepping back in.
I think in a way, like us looking at this era here in 2021, it's so fresh and so relevant because we just experienced a Kylie revival just last year with Disco. And it's kind of, again, you know, everything we're saying about what happened here with Light Years, she did again with Disco just in 2020, don't you think?
Yeah, she kind of, in a way, when we get to the album, it feels like she predicted the Disco album. David, shall we talk about the video? Now, this sleek, sexy, sophisticated disco pop record was directed by Dawn Shadforth, who has directed some music videos for our other pop faves, such as Jerry, Our Girl Sam Mumba, and the legendary girl band of Gay Twitter and Our Hearts, the 411.
Wow. She did Jerry's Bag It Up and Spinning Around in the same year. Now that is camp output. She deserves a medal for that.
She does. Like literally.
That's an ally.
That is an ally. I am not fond of personally when an artist says the term pink pound, but she earned the pink pound that year.
Deserved. I mean, she contributed to the culture, so yeah, thank you.
Contribution to Gay Culture Award goes to. So, David, what were your thoughts on this music video?
I think it's safe to say that the video, the hot pants and everything completely changed the game for Kylie. It completely rewrote the narrative. You know, she is what? Kylie is 32 when this record comes out, right? And exactly. Already she's had a greatest hit. She's had a great first run of her career already as a young pop star. For her to have this resurgence, it was kind of like when Mariah had Emancipation of Mimi with We Belong Together and all that. Like, it just felt like, oh my God, yes, she is hot and on top of the world. She's still got it.
She's still young. She's still fresh. She's got it as much as anyone else does. But what was perfect was, say to me, for instance, it felt like this was the first time I was seeing her. But when she was doing the promo rounds, so she can come out balls, guns blazing with Spinning Around. And then she can also do a couple of throwback hits that the audience loves, but it doesn't date her. It was fantastic. Now, look, obviously, those hot pants were such a cultural phenomenon that we're still talking about them now.
Absolutely iconic. So her stylist, William Baker, got them for 50p, probably at Camden Market. I read somewhere it was Camden Market. He got it sometime in the mid-90s, and Kylie had only worn them out once before this video shoot. She wore it to a party in London, and now it's sitting in a museum, and rightfully so.
Rightfully so. Yes, she'd worn it for a photo shoot for her website and to a fancy dress party, and then rediscovered the night before the video shoot. Imagine Kylie at home on the phone to Danielle, like, and Brendan on a three-way call. What should I do? And then Danny's sort of like, Kylie, do you remember those gorgeous hot pants you wore to my fancy dress party a couple of years ago? I think they're in the back of your wardrobe last time I was over. Brendan saw them. Get those out. Be amazing.
This is the alternate universe writing.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone was talking about them. The press loved it. We loved it. We still love them.
Oh, my God. Like, Kylie's bottom became a national treasure overnight. The Sun sponsored a campaign to have her rear end heritage listed. Like, that is just ridiculous.
Yeah, there's rumours that she had them, she had her bottom insured for $5 million, David. I have no idea how that works.
I don't know how it works either, because you remember, like, back in the old days, there would be lots of these types of tabloid stories, like, oh, Mariah's insured her legs. It's just like, I mean, sure, you know, these are assets that work very hard for the artists.
Yeah, it puts the ass in assets. literally. Now, also, around this time, we were loving the hot pants so much that there was a hot pants workout video where it was... This workout video is Kylie's secret weapon, and it will give you a bum like Kylie.
Who did it? Natalie Cassidy?
No. It was with a choreographer who I think had worked with Kylie. There was a picture of him and Kylie on the back.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now, one of my sisters had that workout video. I'm sure every hun in Essex had to have it. And literally, I remember doing it when I was a kid, and...
The hot pants workout. Wow.
I was like, yeah, I'll be like Kylie and eat my hot pants. All I could say is I could do with that hot pants workout now.
Kylie, it's not too late to re-release that DVD.
In the words of Kylie, never too late. So this song, David, have to say, you know, legendary Aussie writer of the Herald Sun, Cameron Adams. Hi, Cameron. Ranked this song at number 42 on his list of the singer's best songs in honour of her 40th birthday.
Hang on, what number?
42. She's got a lot of songs.
Wow. And spinning around is number 42.
Yeah. Cameron.
Okay, Cameron. Interesting.
Must have loved The Impossible Princess. Tracks 1 to 10, the entire album of Impossible Princess.
I still can't believe he put that at number 42. I mean, that's...
Justice for spinning around, Cameras.
I just don't think it's number 42. I think it needs to be in the top 10, Cameron.
It's definitely in my top 10 Kylie songs of all time. Well, there was just one last iconic moment of this song that we have to touch on. She performed this song at Hyde Park, you know, the biggest pop event in the UK at the time, and it was pouring with rain, and she had no playback in her ears. The playback wasn't working. So the dancers and her are all on stage, cannot hear the song. Her words exactly are, "We're not sure if we're dancing or ice skating up here, and also I can't hear myself at all." And she just dealt with it like a pro, David. If you go for it, it's not on YouTube, so you have to search for it. You will find it. She did an amazing job. She's singing. You can tell she's not quite in time with the music. And for someone that can't hear the music, she sounds amazing and she deals with it perfectly. So I will always have such a huge respect for Kylie for that. You know, a lot of our pop faves have been in similar moments and not dealt with it well at all. Rightfully so. And she just continues.
She's a consummate professional.
The show must
go on. She's been doing this since the 80s. And especially back in the day where there weren't that many maybe pop stars that were singing live and performing at that caliber that Kylie is.
She was doing live at Party in the Park. You know, a lot of pop stars didn't do that back then. And it's actually ingrained in my mind. I remember seeing that when it was broadcast on TV.
So, Spinning Around debuted at number one in the UK, certifying gold. This was Kylie's first UK number one single in 10 years, if you believe that.
I won't believe it, but I believe you.
In Australia, it hit number one, certifying platinum. Woo! Shout out, Australia. New Zealand, number two. Come on, New Zealand. What was going on there?
Who was on number one that day? True Bliss?
Every single episode. It's like, if something doesn't get to number one, we're like, who was blocking it? True Bliss?
Exactly. Well, Queens. Queens of New Zealand. It was a huge number one also in Scotland and Hungary. Number two in Croatia. 4 in Czech Republic, 7 in Europe on the Euro Hot 100. Do we still have the Euro Hot 100? That's what I want to know.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think our chart sales count towards that now, right? Hashtag Brexit.
Oh, God. I don't know. And number 4 in Ireland. Come on, guys. What was going on?
What was going on? And also have to say, shout out to the incredible B-side, Paper Dolls, which is, I know, a fan favourite with a lot of the Kylie stans. A gorgeous, breezy, rooftop bar acoustic number.
The main song, Spinning Around, was such a in-your-face, this is hugely different. But then the B-side lets you have a bit more of a journey from the last era to this one.
Love it. So now comes the second single, On a Night Like This, released in September 2000 on the week of my 13th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, David. I wanted to know where you were at this time. Are you still in Malaysia or have you moved to Australia yet?
We would have been living in Perth at this point, so not moved to Melbourne yet, aka the land of the Minogues.
Right.
You know, I'd never seen a CD single before because we didn't have that in Malaysia. So
oh, really?
I don't think I would have even had a concept of it. No, we just only had albums, it seems.
Full bodies of work only. It must have been such a huge adjustment for you. How long did it take for you to like pick up what's on the cultural zeitgeist?
I think I really tried very hard to fit in my early years, especially because I just, yeah, you know, I got teased at school because I had a different accent to everyone. Even though I was doing well in English, like academically, when I spoke, I had a strong accent and the kids used to make fun of me. So I just made it my mission to watch the evening news every night and to watch a little bit of Neighbours or whatever it was.
Oh, bless you.
And just really consume Australian culture. And I think Kylie was definitely part of the first wave of Australian culture I was consuming. She wasn't new to me because I already discovered or heard about her back in Malaysia. But I think this Light Years era was very much like, yeah, she's Australia's own. She is our number one pop star. So get into this.
Those little shits. I bet you were much more elocuted than they were. When I get a time travel machine, I'm going to go and give those kids a piece of my mind.
It's the JB from Essex. He'll sort you out.
The JB from Essex. Yeah, don't you mess with him, all right? So on a night like this, David, I think this was such a brilliant move. She could have come back with another like in-your-face disco banger, but she's given you something, you know, a lovely pairing, but a slightly more elegant, mature number.
I think where Spinning Around was more classic disco and easily defined as that, this one was more current. It felt like what everyone was listening to in the year 2000. House music was big, Ibiza, Eurodance, like that was what was dominating the charts and will be for the next 2 years. So Kylie really came in and went, hey, this is a big summer dance record.
I would have found out anyway in my research, but you alerted me today. You alerted me today that this song is a cover, isn't it, David?
I'd always remember reading something back in the day that it was a cover, but I didn't realise that two different artists had actually released this song. So originally it was written for a Swedish singer called Pandora, and she released it in 99. Now her version of On a Night Like This is the one that's closest to Kylie's.
Lure goes that it didn't go as well as they hoped, and they suggested it should go to Kylie, and then it literally does just sound like her vocals were put on top of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then Kylie made it the big international hit that it deserved to be. But also the same year she put out her version, a Greek pop star, Anna Vissi, also released this song, but with a slightly different production.
It's wild that kind of like, it feels like it was just exchanged around the same time and that was just allowed to happen in a kind of mainstream way.
This was a time where you could get away with region-specific releases and the audience wouldn't find out. But, you know, now we have the internet. Everyone knows.
We're looking at you, that one section in the Sophie Monk song and S Club 8 Sundown.
Also, you found out before on our Greek pop star Anna Vissi's album that she also covered a Danny Minogue song.
Yeah, she also covered So In Love With Yourself from the Girl album. So you buy Anna Vissi's album Everything I Am, and not only do you get everything she is, but you find out that what she is two covers from the Minogue icons only.
It's two parts Minogue.
I mean, that is what we dream of in our mythical debut albums, David. This Greek goddess is doing it.
Shall we talk about the music video?
Let's talk about the music video. Now, David, Much like the song, I feel it was a genius move. The first single you've done, mainstream disco pop comeback, she's firmly in everyone's mind. We can do cinema.
Oh, this is cinema, honey. Like, we're talking big budget. It reminds me of when Mariah did Honey, that music video.
Oh, yes.
And she had a little scene play out in the beginning, you know, a little bit James Bond, sexy, glamorous, you know, continental.
Absolutely. It was filmed in Monte Carlo. Now, her co-star in this film, David, is Dutch actor Rutger Hauer, who I most know from Buffy the movie.
Oh, really? Because I was watching it just a couple of nights ago, and I've had a bit of wine by this stage. I was just like, Anthony Hopkins? Like, was Anthony Hopkins in Kylie's video and I never know?
No, sorry. But close enough, sure. He can be if he wants.
He's the Dutch Anthony Hopkins.
Maybe this is what our mailbag episode's going to end up being. People are going to just email us on everything we got wrong and we'll be like, no, yeah, fair enough, in the real world it's wrong, but in the right back at your universe, that's what happened. Anthony Hopkins was in this Kylie video.
You know what's really funny about this video? So the scene where she dives into the pool fully clothed and then she comes back out sopping wet and then she undresses, not in that way, but you know,
yeah,
no, from swimming.
Yes.
It's PG rated episode.
PG.
So she takes off that sopping wet dress and she throws it at that window. Yeah. And it's just making this like wet fish slap and thud on the window. I don't know why I find that so funny, but it's just so awkward.
When we can like finally have nights out again, we're all going to get so drunk so quickly. And you know, like there's always at least one of you in your group
me.
That gets like annoyed or fed up with everyone. You've had too much to drink.
That's not me.
That's not you. You just sort of like quietly get a bit too drunk.
And then like slip away into the night. Yeah.
That's going to be when someone has had too much to drink and like causes a little strop. But yeah, it's so funny. Wet dress on the door. But it's such a gorgeous, sexy cinematic video.
Also, speaking about Kylie's sexiness, like, you know, as two gay men who grew up adoring this diva, I think there's something very interesting about her appeal. Kylie has that rare quality where men like her, as in straight men like her, gay men like her, women like her of all sexualities. She is everyone's girl in that sense.
She isn't really comparable to the other pop artists. You know what I mean? She really just is in her own lane in that sense.
I was saying this to my flatmate Chris before because he was just like, we were talking in a kitchen about pop stars who've endured and had reinventions and multiple comebacks and how rare it is. And, you know, he mentioned Madonna and he mentioned Beyonce. And I think, yeah, Kylie obviously is in that league, but it just feels a little different with Kylie. Like, I think people love Kylie. They respect Madonna and Beyonce, but they love Kylie, you know?
Yeah, she literally is an international treasure. Like, she's the people's darling.
So speaking of, obviously, global stardom, everyone's pop princess. With that honor and title and status, of course, comes with you have to do the Sydney Olympics, don't you? When the Olympics comes to your country, who else better to represent pop than the Queen of Pop, Kylie?
And it seemed like this moment really, it was so fitting of time as well, where Kylie was in her career, really back on top in this mainstream pop princess way of international darling. What a pride of, you know, Australia to show in this huge Summer Olympics way. I think I read somewhere that it was watched by 2 billion people.
I watched the closing ceremony again just a few hours ago and I got chills, Joel, like just seeing the stadium full of people enjoying music and the colour, I miss it so much.
Absolutely. I mean, the only other time we've seen something like that was the Spice Girls doing the closing.
Spice World 2019, where we both
yeah, went. Yeah, Spice World 2019 and Spice Girls doing the Olympics, you know. Those are such, like, you know, it just seems like rare moments, but hopefully
rare stadium pop moments that you just go, oh my God, like,
yeah.
And, you know, everything about that sequence, you know, they had Elle Macpherson out there on a giant camera strutting to Madison Avenue's Don't Call Me Baby, and then Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, coming out on floats. And then straight after that, Kylie does On a Night Like This. Like, it is literally gay rights.
What a perfect song, On a Night Like This. It's like the theme tune to the night, you know?
It just captured the moment and the joy, the excitement, the hype, and, of course, national pride that we had, yeah.
Speaking of national pride, a national treasure was born. Now, David, it might be 20 years on, but you introduced me to the national treasure Australian teen sensation superstar that was born from the Sydney Olympics. And that girl is Nikki Webster.
I was so stoked when... Was it Strawberry Kisses that I played you first, or was it another?
Oh, yeah, you got me straight in with Strawberry Kisses. It wasn't Devilicious. It wasn't Something Beautiful. It was, you go straight in with Signature. And I didn't realise that I've been missing wishing kissing your Strawberry Kisses for 20 years without even realising.
Yeah, I was actually, yeah, you know, watching back the Olympics performance just then, and there was a moment where she was holding hands with Nikki Webster the whole time during that song. And I just looked at that picture and I thought, wow, what a vision of Australian pop royalty, you know, with the next generation. I was just like, oh, you know, if I was Nikki, that picture of me dancing with Kylie would be like framed up in my living room.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In every room, really. Okay, so David, on a night like this, Kylie is still on top. She's coming in strong with a huge Australian number one. Well done, Australia.
In the UK, what were you thinking? Number two.
Well, look, I don't know how you think I can represent an entire country.
When you put this on me the whole time. Every time, guys, go back on our previous episodes. Every time a single flops in Australia, David, what were you thinking?
You know, it was also number four in Croatia, number two in Iceland, number 16 in Ireland. Come on, guys. 34 in New Zealand. They were not feeling it.
34.
Maybe that was...
I thought we were friends, New Zealand.
I thought we had something special. So, David, let's get into the Light Years album. We're still in that month, September 2000. Now, David, did you know this album at the time, or have you come into it more later as time's gone on?
I'll be honest, I came into Light Years more and more as the years went by. I think my main Kylie album that I came into really loving and standing Kylie was actually Fever. So... to me, just going back a few years to Light Years at the time just didn't quite make sense when I had so much to work with Fever and then Body Language. So it actually took me a few years, but here I am in 2021 and I can actually say that now I can live with it. I love it.
This was my first time listening to this album in preparation for this episode.
It's never too late, as Kylie says.
I was trying to think of a way to sing Never Too Late and incorporate myself in it, but that's not happening.
It's never too late, Joe still has time. It's never too late, you still can stream it. Never too late to stream Light Years.
Ooh. Oh, that was stunning. Oh my God, I thought Kylie was on the phone then. I have always been a huge Kylie admirer. I have known more about Danielle's work. But, you know, Disco is the first album that I bought straight off the bat, really got myself into. So, David, I'm just going to tell you, though, I am all in. You know, I'm not just an admirer anymore. Doing this episode and doing this has got me all in. I am gagging for Kylie to announce a tour. I want my tickets. I want to be there. Like, watching everything we watched, and we'll talk about it in a bit, but doing this research, I'm just like, we need to be doing this soon. Like, Kylie, I need to be there. I need to be amongst it. I need to be one of those fans.
I'm so happy you've come to this point. Like, I don't think I've ever pushed Kylie too hard on you. It was always like, I knew you got it and you appreciated it, but... hearing you say this now, I'm just like, okay, he's like actually in.
It was my first time listening to this album. And obviously it is disco pop of the time. But what really surprised me is that it's a bit of an eclectic mix with hints of Ibiza in there quite throughout. We've got flair of 60s and 70s. And then there is also some hints of that Middle Eastern vibe.
Honestly, she signed with Parlophone and everyone just felt like they were on the same page. They just want to make a fuck-off big pop record, and they pulled out all stops with A&R. They got Guy Chambers on board, who's famous for working with Robbie. Actual Robbie writes two songs on this album. Johnny Douglas, Richard Biff Stannard, Julian Gallagher, Steve Anderson, who I think from this point on becomes a longtime Kylie tour music director. So this is the A-list of A-list with pop.
At the time, there were rumours that her and Pete Waterman were going to work together again on this album. Fun as that would have been, I just have to say thank God they didn't. Because what Pete could have bought with it could have been amazing, but also would have potentially been something different. And we didn't need Kylie doing Steps. You know, she'd moved on from her years at PWL.
The taste level with the sonic direction on this album is very appropriate for Kylie. It was glamorous disco pop that only she could do.
And don't get us wrong, guys, we love the aforementioned, and maybe you'll hear us talking about that this year. But
we do love Steps, but it's a different thing, you know.
Yeah, it's you know, Steps are amazing and Kylie is amazing, and they didn't need to necessarily cross.
So let's talk about the highlights. For me, one of my faves, and this really has just only sunk in the last 24 hours, So Now Goodbye.
Is also on mine. It's such a lovely upbeat disco light breakup track.
Yeah, so you get the stirring strings, like a real proper retro disco vibe, but also like having had disco now, as in her 2020 album, I like to put this track in between some of my other disco album tracks on the playlist because they do bleed in very seamlessly with each other. And this is quintessential Kylie, you know, that kind of bittersweet dance bop. If you listen to her classics like Never Too Late, which we've mentioned a few times in this episode, I Should Be So Lucky, Hand on Your Heart, Kylie does kind of wistful, sad songs really well with that kind of bright melody, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. So look, while we're speaking about disco, one of my standout tracks is Disco Down. Is she predicting what's to come 20 years on? We've got a lovely upbeat, futuristic in that way of only Y2K Wiley would sound at the time, dance track. There's a little bit of an edge in there and it is slightly rocky.
I actually really appreciate the electric guitars in Disco Down. It made me think of the Scissor Sisters in a way. Like, you can hear this on a Scissor Sisters record, can't you?
Absolutely. What else stood out for you, Davo?
Okay, now this one, I don't know how we're almost 10 years since this album came out before discovering it. Love Boat.
Oh, you discovered it 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think I only got into this song maybe after 2010.
Right. Now, I'll be honest, David, when I first heard this, like within the last 2 weeks we've been talking about this episode, I thought, on my first hearing, I thought it was a straight up cover of the Love Boat theme tune. And it isn't, but it must be kind of an obvious nod to it because it's somewhat similar and it is such a camp what the fuck move that only Kylie can get away with.
love this synergy of Kylie, Guy Chambers, and Robbie Williams, because between the three of them, Love Boat came out of it, and Your Disco Needs You, which we'll talk about a bit later, but it's just so camp. This song sounds like something you would hear on like a Gilligan's Island episode. It's just eternally summery. If you're ever in a bad mood or you're just feeling like, oh, the weather's just getting me down, hit play on Love Boat and just be instantly transported away to Copacabana.
And thank God this track's on there, really, because it's going to give us a great visual for the tour when we get to that in a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So I think this is kind of, I know it's a bit tongue-in-cheek and it's like, you know, it's camp with a wink, but Kylie does it so well and so classily as well.
Anything else standing out for you?
So we talked about Butterfly before, but yeah, I think sonically it is one of the more interesting tracks on the record. But also Light Years, to me, the title track Light Years never seems to date. Like, it just feels like future nostalgia defined. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Because Light Years is, I'll be honest, it's not my favourite on the album, but it does perfectly encapsulate the entire album. And I think this is definitely going to be the grower for me between us doing this episode and releasing it. Because listening to it, it's not my favourite, but I can appreciate what it is.
It's one of those tracks that you feel is very perfectly retrofitted for a tour. Like, you can imagine it with all the lasers and smoke machines, do you know?
Absolutely.
It's more of a concept record, and maybe it's Kylie's I Feel Love.
Yeah, it's very... Oh, well, actually, that's actually what our friend Live Laugh Levine compared it to in his 2011 retrospective review for Digital Spy. Nick Live Love Love Levine described its sound as camptastic, while praising the album itself as shiny, sparkly, early noughties disco record, complete with Village People pastiche, Your Disco Needs You, a Donna Summer homage with Light Years, and even a Barry White cover, Under the Influence. Although there's plenty of catchy dance pop spinning around on a night like this.
That word again,
Butterfly.
Catchy.
Speaking of catchy, there's no catchy Kathy Dennis on this album. We'll get to that hopefully
in
the future.
We'll get to that next time, yeah.
A couple of groovy 60s tunes, Cuckoo and I'm So High, and just one ballad, but it's a lovely one. Bittersweet. Who could put it better than Live Laugh Levine himself? So, speaking of Butterfly...
I don't know if he's going to love Live Laugh Levine, but...
Look, darling, it's a brand. We've given it to you.
We're going to make it happen.
We've made it happen. As Alex always says to me, the reputation you want and the reputation you have don't always necessarily match up.
Ooh. I wonder in what context did he say that to you about?
Oh, I don't know. When I'm like, oh, I'm having a breakdown. I don't know what to do with my life. All that kind of, you know, it's a Tuesday. Chat. So Butterfly, you know, I know we keep circling back to it, but we have to say it was in running to be the fourth single and actually charted in the US at number 14 on the Billboard Hot Dance Club Play chart.
How? Oh my God, that's so interesting. I didn't know that about that song. That's so random.
The song also appeared as a bonus track on the US edition of Kylie's Fever album.
Wow, they must really thought, okay, Butterfly is it. We're going to crack the US with this.
It
wow.
was a cult underground hit in America. Yeah, I'll have to say for me, Bittersweet Goodbye, it's our signature slow number. It's not my favourite on the album at all.
No.
And I was really... listening to the album, I didn't realise that Under the Influence... was a Barry White cover, but I thought it was a lovely, fun, heady romp.
Did you borrow that word from Live Love Love Levine?
No. He described it as
just a Barry White
cover. A Barry White cover.
Very factual.
You can have that, Nick. Heady romp. I probably got it from one of his other quotes. So this album, David, it had that infamous limited Sainsbury's vinyl release a few years ago.
Oh, no, don't. This is so upsetting.
Can someone hook us up, please?
Please.
300 quid now. And, like, it just seems like where we circulate, David, the Sainsbury's in the city, in London, in Zone 2, don't stock vinyl, you know?
Do you remember when, I think this must have been around the same time she put out Fever as a limited release vinyl as well. Also with Sainos, I looked online and I was like, oh, that's not in London. Like, why would I go to Zone 6?
Yeah, dead tricky.
You know what? One day it will happen. Because this artwork is so stunning. I need this vinyl on display on my shelf. Like, it's just, it's a work of art. It's Picasso.
Speaking of work of art, get yourself on Love Lumi Stories. With the way he does his album displays, they are gorgeous.
Oh, it's a weekly display, darling. It's old school HMV record of the day all over again.
HMV with old Davey. And Chris loves it, does he?
Well, I think he kind of pays attention to it sometimes. Yeah. I don't really know what he thinks.
Does he have an equal bookshelf in the living room?
He's got the other side of the living room, but there's no like record of the week or anything.
Oh, just put a few over there as well then, I'd say.
Love it. Sorry, I know that's your grandma's clock, but I'm just going to put this Mariah vinyl over the front of it.
I mean, give it a 360 experience. Why the hell not?
He walks in and is literally like a record store. Sorry, I moved to a Jamie XX record so I can put up this Holly Valance CD.
Well, literally, you know, I needed one side Kylie and one side Danny. Can't have one without the other for the display. But yeah, so we need another repressing, please, of, you know, of this album, of the Fever album, of all the pop albums, you know. Like, what I loved is that this whole album and this era and her career, really, it's taking what she was then and taking it to modern times. That's so rare that people can do right. And
yeah, I think there's something very effervescent about Kylie's music and her catalogue that just seems to transcend time. You know, it doesn't matter what style of pop it is. There is a place for Kylie forever.
David, this album really was Kylie officially solidifying herself back on top. Well done, Australia. Again, a number one on the ARIA charts.
Now, it wasn't an easy given number one, I have to say. It debuted at number two and then 3 weeks later rose to number one, eventually certifying 4 times platinum in Australia. So I love that for Kylie. It was her first ever number one album in Australia, if you can believe that.
Well, look, when your album features the song that won the 2000 ARIA Music Award for Best Pop Release spinning around, the Aussies have got to get that album. It might have just taken them a few weeks to realise.
In the UK, it debuted at number two, which was where it peaked, certifying platinum. So close to having a number one album, which would have been great for Kylie because at that point she hadn't had a number one album since 1989. So it would have been lovely to see that, but it wasn't to be.
3 on the Scottish album charts, 10 on the European album charts, 16 in Hungary, 13 in Ireland. Come on, Ireland, were you stocked low in Tesco's or something? 8 in New Zealand. 2013, it recharted on the Scottish album charts at 21, 36 on the UK album charts, and number 3 on the UK vinyl charts. They're just teasing us. Absolutely teasing us there. Let's move on to October 2000, where Kylie and her friend,
What's his name? Only the biggest male pop star at the time, Robbie Williams.
Kylie and her friend, Robbie Williams, wanted to say straight rights. So come on, jump on board, take a ride.
Jump on board. haven't always loved Kids. I understand its place in popular culture. I get it. It was a moment in time. But it just felt to me like, you know, Kylie was doing so much fabulous pop. This was just something for the heads. This was it's something for the pub, for the blokes in a pub, for the Nuts magazine readers. Here you go.
And yeah, I mean, that maybe that was a smart move. It doesn't like it. It's for me just like,
oh, I think it's a very smart move. It's strategic. Yeah.
I definitely enjoyed this more as a kid than I do now. It feels kind of novelty hit adjacent for me now, looking back, if I'm honest. But like you said, he was allegedly the biggest male pop star at the time. So it made sense for her to be doing this. She's given the gays a lot. So I guess you got to throw them a bone too. but it was a huge thing. I have to say,
it was a very good look for Kylie as well, because he was a hot young male pop star and Kylie was having a resurgence and a comeback. So this made her relevant in a way without trying too hard. If this was the lead single for the campaign, then we would have been like, oh, Kylie, like, no confidence in, you know, launching your own records first. But this was like the third single. Second single for Robbie's Sing When You're Winning album.
Yeah.
But for her, it was like,
speaking of confidence,
you know, she's like, oh, you know, I've already done the Olympics. I've got a hit album. I've got two hit singles. So yeah, sure. Let's do the Robbie single.
We could put that out. I could throw him a bone.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't look like Robbie was doing her a favor. It kind of felt like they met in the middle, you know?
Yeah. I'm also, here's for another day that we're never even going to cover, but like, how did that Robbie and Nicole Kidman cover come about? You know what I mean? Like, that's just so confusing. We've never had, you know, NK1.
I think he must have just thought of Nicole. When you're asked by Robbie Williams, why not? Just give it a go, Nicole. And she did. And she harmonized very beautifully on that song. So
Yeah.
I don't think we'll get like a Nicole Kidman stages like Kimberly Walsh, but...
Center Stage.
Sorry, Center Stage. Stages is the Melanie C album.
Melly C.
Getting my musical theatres covers album wrong.
And musicality is Martine McCutcheon. There we go.
Oh, yes. Done them all. Thank you, Jolie. Thank you.
For more on that, go to our Soap Puns episode. So, have to shout out this song. She has done some epic performances of it over the years, most recently with the only prominent male vocalist in my life, Rick Astley, doing the Robbie Williams part, and most epically when Kylie and Danny sung it together on a night of Kylie's tour.
Oh my god, that was incredible. I still love to watch that footage of Danny emerging from the stage and them doing Kids together. It was when Kylie had the leopard print catsuit, right, and the boxing gloves.
It was, and it's so
And Danny had a matching one or a black corset, something like that.
Yeah, she had a dress or a black corset. She wasn't in a matching outfit. But it was just so wonderful. They're both killing it. You know, as we've already said, these are two absolute professionals. They are performers. And just, they both look so happy. And just Kylie going, give it up for my little sister. It's just so wonderful.
It's so warm and loving. Like, also that footage, I love to play this every Christmas. That footage of Kylie and Danny doing 100 Degrees at Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, amazing.
The screams, honestly, the screams for Danny when she came out on stage. I was like, I live for that. I live for that for her, you know? When I was in high school, like, I remember some of the boys at school saying, oh yeah, you know, there's a really naughty line in the song that she goes, couldn't do what I wanted to do when my lips were dry. And I didn't get it at the time, but now I do.
Oh my God, Kylie!
Oh my God! I was like, oh my Lord, clutching my pearls.
It did appear on Grand Theft Auto 5's fictional radio station, Nonstop Pop. Now, that is real. There is a market of gamers, David, that hugely informs their music knowledge.
Yeah, we're talking about my little brother now, yeah.
Oh, hello, Sean. There was a time where I used to go to a friend's before school every morning. Me, who can't get out of bed in the morning now, has no idea how I did that. But would every morning they'd play Grand Theft Auto, I would like making sure I get a go, get them in the car just so I could put on like the pop radio station. So in the game, when you drive a car, you can pick radio stations.
Oh,
and,
right.
And there's a fictional radio station in the game called Nonstop Pop that played loads of songs, including this. So that's why when you see some of these songs, you look in the YouTube comments and people go, this takes me right back to Grand Theft Auto. And it's got so many likes and so many people commenting going, me too, me too.
This is like a whole part of subculture that I don't get because I don't play video games. So yeah, I don't get the impact of these song choices.
Well, maybe for once Sean can educate you on something, David.
Right, shall we talk about chart positions?
Yep, another number two here in the UK. Number 14 in Australia. They knew what was going on in Australia.
Yeah, we spent all our money buying On a Night Like This and spinning around the album. We ain't got no time for Robbie's single.
Where else did it chart? Number 3 in Iceland. It wasn't a number 1 anywhere. It was gold in Australia, silver in the UK, Scotland number 2, New Zealand number 5. They loved it. So, Davo, can we please talk about the next single, Please Stay, which I'm going to say I think is my favourite from the album and the era.
Jolie, wow, the taste jumped out. We're just going to say it now. Hashtag justice for Please Stay.
Yeah, exactly. Please Stay in our hearts. I think it is stunning. It's a similar vibe in a way to On a Night Like This. And I think just at the moment when we listen to it, like that lyric, who knows when we'll dance again.
Oh,
hits hard. Soon.
It hits different. Wow.
Soon, we hope. But yes, it hits different while you're having that third large glass of Kylie wine. Oof!
You know, this one is a bit of a forgotten gem, and I'm always very happy to shine the light on this one because I kind of discovered this maybe in the last 10 years as well. Weirdly, I used to see the copies of Please Stay in Target all the time, but for some reason, this single wasn't as supported in Australia. I never heard it on radios. I don't think I've ever even seen the music video on the channels. Like you said, it does have a similar vibe to On a Night Like This. It almost feels like the kind of, after a night out, you're going home.
You're kind of in that Uber home on a late summer's night out.
And you know, you've got the windows down, the summer breeze coming through your hair. Oh, please stay, my babe. This is the song.
It is the song, and it is absolutely wonderful. Let's talk about the video. It is chic. It is cinematic. The pole dancing queen. Never has a working men's club snooker table seemed so glamorous.
I never even thought about it as a working men's club, but now that you've said it, you're kind of right. It is. It's really funny because the start of the video is like some sort of 70s thing. Like, you know, that circular rotating bed is, it just looks like something out of Austin Powers. And then she rides a pole down to, I guess, what Joel would call working men's club.
Also, she wheeled that snooker table back out for the Top of the Pops performance. And obviously in context of the song, and it's Kylie, so it seems super glamorous. But it's like, how can she make a snooker table? Seems so glamorous. They should just wheel it out, or like it should be the anthem for every snooker tournament now.
You know what's really sad? I don't think she's performed this song very much since. I wonder if she did it in her Anti tour even.
No, so it was performed on the Fever tour and the Showgirls Greatest Hits tour. So this was a top 10 hit here in the UK, in at number 10.
4 consecutive top 10 hits from this one album in the UK. That's incredible.
Normally by the 4th single, we'd see that kind of lucky to be in like the top 20. So top 10 is really, really special.
That snooker table at Top of the Pops really did something.
Did something for the lads out there. Number 10 in Scotland, 34 in Ireland, 13 and 10 in Belgium respectively. Number 42 on the Euro Hot 100. The Working Men's Club really did not translate around Europe, but we'll take it. It was gold in Australia, number 15 in Australia. So hats off to you, Kylie.
And then comes January 2001. This is the classic And I'm talking cult classic that we've all been pining for in this episode. And we are, of course, talking about the final single of Light Years, Your Disco Needs You.
Your disco needs you.
Love that. Rich baritone. Come on, JB.
Oh, yes.
This single was only released in, it had a limited release in Australia and only really properly released in Germany. And mind you, there is a German version of this song where the spoken word bit where Kylie normally says it in French, she switches to German, which is the weirdest thing ever. But anyway, that's on the side. This is definitely a modern queer classic. I would see this as a sister track to the Pet Shop Boys' Go West. It's fabulously camp. Kylie is giving it to you 110%. I would even say probably up there with some of her best vocal flexes on any song ever.
Oh my God. And when she goes for it live.
This song deserves so much more than it has gotten. But also, yeah. I love the fact that, you know, this song was blocked from released in the UK by the head of Kylie's label, which Guy Chambers, one of the songwriters of this record, he said the head of Kylie's label at the time stopped the release because they thought the song was too camp and too gay.
Well,
like that is what actually makes it more of a modern queer classic, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like that just, the fact that it's had this struggle, this underappreciation, this repression makes Your Disco Needs You even more vital to us.
Yes. And what I love is that she clearly loves it. It's been sung on most of her tours since, you know, fifth limited single that didn't get a release in much, in you know, I didn't get a wide release, wouldn't have this kind of life for an artist that is still performed on most tours. And when she performs it, it goes off. The audience goes crazy.
Yeah, I was actually just in preparation for this episode watching her performance at Brighton Pride, where she headlined in 2019. I got chills.
Exactly. I was there, David. I probably shouldn't share this with everyone because I think it's going to disgust our audience. But about maybe 5+ years ago, I was in a different place in my life. I hadn't, like, hadn't had this, you know, conversion to Kylie standing that I've had in the 2 weeks. I saw this music video. It must have been at GAY Bar or GAY Late for the first time. And it was too much for me to process. I was literally like, what the fuck is this? But guys, before you write me off completely, don't feel like that anymore.
But that wasn't your first time hearing the song, right? That was the first time you saw the video.
And heard it.
Oh, JB.
It was really? Too much to process, yeah. Because it wasn't...
I think, yeah, you know what? Anyone's entryway into this song shouldn't be the music video. I mean, we love and accept it for what it is now because of the status it has in our community and our lives. But for someone going in raw, the music video is not the way. So I apologize on behalf of the Kylie community. And that is spelled with a K, community.
Maybe we need to add a K to the LGBTQIAK+ community. And the, oh, no. Actually, just keep it. But then community needs to just be with a K. You got it on the head.
That
there.
Represents Kylie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can understand that it was a little too much. So what was your turning point with the single once you got over the fact that you saw that horrific video?
Past 2 weeks.
Really? So it was through revisiting this album for this episode that
look,
you went,
David,
do you know what? It's not that bad.
I've got to hand it to you. You've changed my life.
Wow. That's the Kylie Wine talking.
No, it's not the Kylie Wine. Literally, no, I just, I feel like I'm in a new world. Because I've always been, I just feel like I've been on the periphery of this my whole life, and I just feel like I'm now part of the community with a K. So look, this was hugely popular as an album track, and even though it wasn't released here, it still managed to chart 152 based on import sales. And bearing in mind it was a limited release, that's impressive. Number 20 in Australia, but bearing in mind limited release there, so very impressive, and fifth single. 30 in Poland, 27 in Switzerland, 70 in Austria, and 31 in Germany. Now look, the video is what it is. Now that I know the song and it's such a camp classic, the video adds to that, I think.
The fact that it has such a dodgy green screen video that looks like something that was filmed on season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race, it kind of adds to the camp classic nature of it. Do you know what I mean?
The legacy of it. Where do you think that makes it into your Kylie top 10?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think Your Disco Needs You is somewhere in the top 5, even.
Yeah, and it was actually this song, especially when watching live performances, that made me feel like I need to be at a Kylie show. Now with my fully fledged card with a K to be part of the community with a K. I just need to be there. Right, well, we can't have too much Kylie wine again because we can't be bawling ourselves all the way through the concert like we did at Mariah.
That was white wine. I remember turning to you. I was just like, when she sang Anytime You Need a Friend, I was like, my dad loves this song. I've never been to a concert with my dad and he loves this song.
We were white wine drunk. We were like a drunk. Well, we'd been recording and we drunk throughout the recording. Got there, got straight to the Royal Albert Hall bar, got a bottle of wine, then probably had a drunk that, then got another one to take into the show with us. Gosh.
Well, so, that's why there were tears. Yeah.
We were excited about our 250 quid bloody keychains.
I miss those days. I can't wait to come back.
Can't wait to be at a show screaming my tits off with this one. But also, guys, remember, any of our favorite gay bars that have survived this time, they do need us.
Oh yeah, well, I saw that Mutia was booked to perform at the RVT. Dates TBC at this point, but I've never seen Mutia at a gay bar, so I need that.
I was at the RVT right before, and it was amazing. I was white drunk again that night. Maybe it's just like, you've got things you need to address. But no.
Listen, any of our listeners who have supported our podcast and followed us, if you ever see us at a bar and Joel's looking a bit teary at one of the performers on stage, it's all good. It's all love. It's all fine.
It's just
don't be worried. Nah, it's just wine.
It's just wine and overwhelmed by the talent. So Your Disco Needs You, and we still need it today. Fast forward to March 2001, Kylie launches her On A Night Like This tour of Europe and Australia.
Now, this was absolutely major, and I remember actually seeing the DVD everywhere. The DVD recording of the tour was just called Live in Sydney, and I'll hold my hands up, JB. I actually never watched this tour until just this week in preparation for this episode.
I never watched this tour until this morning. And I can tell you, right, David, I didn't sleep well last night. I put this in front of my TV and it revived me. What a way to start your day, guys. Put this on. It's all on YouTube. I then sent it to Harry because I was like, you know, we're all in like, you know, places at the moment. I was like, you just need some camp fun. Put this on.
I was sitting in my living room watching this, and it just really brought me full circle to having watched Kylie's Infinite Disco live stream on New Year's Eve in the same spot. Like, it's still been the same lockdown, but I've had two different Kylie concert experiences in this time.
She really did that. And still doing it 20 years on, she was doing it for however many years before that.
And this woman has brought so much joy into our lives, into our living rooms, into our ears and everywhere. And I just had a moment of just feeling a bit overwhelmed, just thinking, wow, really followed Kylie's career for so long. And I just have so much love for this woman. Like, it's incredible. But talking about this tour, JB, have to say, I was a little shocked because it just needed me a moment to get used to the fact that this was a 2001 tour and things aren't as big and mega and extra and polished as I'm used to.
This was her first big tour for this era and this time. 46 dates, including 7 London dates at the Hammersmith Apollo. I think it would have been absolutely amazing to see a big pop show like that in a more intimate setting. So you're saying it's not as big and polished, but you've got to remember that was the setup of it. You know, it wasn't your usual Wembleys or your O2s and the like, etc., etc.
I think this was a big expensive tour of that time.
Yes, yeah. And then it was kind of establishing the next chapter. So I would love to have seen this Kylie, huge big pop star in Hammersmith Apollo before she gets to Wembley Arena, you know?
It was so much fun and it completely brought to life all the different colours that you hear on the Light Years album. You talked about Love Boat before. That was the opening song of this tour. And, you know, the minute the curtains went up, it was this makeshift
cruise ship.
And she knew what she was doing. She knew the song was a little bit cruise ship entertainment and she gave it to you in that way, you know?
She enters by coming down from a ship anchor.
A giant silver anchor descending from the top of the stage. Like, that's a showgirl for you. I love it.
The whole show was an absolute camp night out of early noughties excellent, and what a tour to have been at. So, David, what were your favourite moments of this show?
I really like the acoustic moment where she did Put Yourself in My Place, which is Danny Minogue's favourite Kylie song.
Little shout out for my sister there. I'm going to do an acoustic number. Didn't you love one of the fantastic legendary moments of this show is she does a cover of Physical and she does a slowed down version of Physical and her and the dancers all doing this pole dance choreography.
When I was watching this tour, I was taking notes because I was like, yeah, we're going to talk about this on the episode. One of my early notes while watching the show was that, oh, this feels very CBBC for Kylie. Like, it feels like a family show. And then she slides down a pole doing Physical. And I was like, not very CBBC.
That's when the mums would take their kids to the toilet. Just so quickly, quick. And the dads will be like, I'll stay and look after the seats. I loved when she came out with the red leather jacket and the red trousers.
I knew you were going to say that. A nod to Billy Piper.
A nod to Billy Piper and to Britney, but before, just before Oops had come out probably, but red leather in pop music is chef's kiss.
Very camp. Love it. You know, the costumes of this tour were done by British Fashion Designer of the Year in 2001, Julian McDonald. And which, by the way, all of Kylie's iconic outfits from her music videos and her tours and whatever are available at the Melbourne Arts Centre, Joel. And I went there a couple of years ago when I went back to visit my family.
Wow. David, she sang Can't Get You Out of My Head on this tour.
I would just love to be in the audience at that time just to get people's reaction, just to turn to someone next to me and just go, oh, what do you think about that? Like,
yeah, and especially because obviously what we know of the song and the iconic routine and the costumes, for her to just go, and this is a new song I've got coming out, and it's literally just her and the backing singers, right? No routine,
nothing. It wasn't really any routine. It was just giving you the song straight.
Yeah, when it started, I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if we'll get some real demo-y version. But no, it was pretty much sounded like the final version that we all know and love. But I was just absolutely like, good on you, Kylie, getting that plug for the next single out there.
Testing the waters with that. Love it.
What a phenomenal journey this has been. Huge hats off to Kylie and the team for executing this so perfectly and creating iconic history that us and for the community with a K to still be loving to this day. And thank you, David, for suggesting this episode and making me a fully fledged member of the community.
Welcome to the Kylie fandom.
So, I mean, I have loved this so much, and you know, hopefully you guys do too, so we can continue this journey. For anyone that's come into us via this episode, or if you've just missed it, we do have a Dannii Minogue episode, so check that out. And I also want to give a shout out to a new great Dannii and Kylie podcast, who I believe you actually know them in real life, David. So friends of the podcast, This Is Disco. If you want a bit more Kylie and Dannii, go and check them out.
Fabulous. Now, they have the real fan reading of this. You know, this, what we're doing is just Joel and I having our version of it. But I love that there is a specific Kylie fandom, Kylie and Dannii fandom podcast. So they do what they do best.
Yes. Lots of love to them. And obviously, as a reminder, check us out on Lights, Camera, Melodrama and You're Welcome, America. Check both of those out. And obviously, we want to hear from you for our mailbag episode. So send us an email at writebackpod@gmail.com and slide into our DMs at writebackpod. Follow us on all social platforms, writebackpod, even on TikTok. You can follow me at Dr_Joel B.
And I'm at Lovely Me.
Until next time, bye.